when the Spirit of the Lord moves. And oh, we want Him to move. I said, when the Spirit of the Lord moves, and we want Him to move, all manner of needs are made manifest. And as they're made manifest, we just pray, Spirit of the Lord that made the need manifest, meet the need. Meet the need. Take care of the need. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many covets the moving of God's presence? Hallelujah. Open up your heart. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We are concluding another series this morning. The series, The Last Days, according to the Thessalonian epistles. We'll be completing that this morning. Amen. I'm not going to minister long, but I want this series and time that we've spent of dealing with the last days, I want the Lord to speak to us this morning, because we are in the last days. It's not just academic. I said it's not just academic, it's reality. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Just going to read one verse this morning. Verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I've debated all week whether this is a declaration or a prayer or a hope, but it sure sounds like a prayer to me. The Apostle Paul penned, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Do you feel that prayer this morning? The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. I want to preach this morning on led into love. Led into love. You can be seated this morning. These two epistles that we've had the privilege of being in these Sunday mornings, these epistles to the Thessalonians, were all about the certainty of Christ's coming and the believers being prepared for His coming. But as Paul closes these two letters about Christ's second coming, it's really interesting to me how he makes that closing statement. It's a prayerful statement. In other words, after all we've talked about, Paul said about the coming of the Lord, let me put it in a nutshell how you can be ready for His coming. Let me put it in a nutshell how you can be prepared for the awful things that are to come on planet Earth. Here it is in a nutshell. Let the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Be led into love. You want to be ready for what's happening in our time. You want to be ready for the coming of the Lord, Paul says. Let your heart be led into love. Oh, hallelujah. We've all been thinking about the Joplin tornado in the last few weeks. And we had the opportunity, I guess you could put it that way, to see the awful devastation that was done by that tornado. But as you know, my daughter and her husband and children, they live in that area. And my son-in-law is a builder, and he's already developed a side business, because since that tornado, everybody wants a storm shelter. And so when he gets home from his regular job, he goes out and he's building storm shelters out of concrete, metal and concrete, steel and concrete, building storm shelters. They want a storm shelter. I'm telling you, you would too if you'd lived around Joplin and you'd seen the damage. You'd want a storm shelter. I think if you really read the book about what's going to happen on planet Earth, I think you want a storm shelter. We lived in the middle of Tornado Alley in Oklahoma, central Oklahoma. We lived right in the middle of it. Used to having tornado alarms. We didn't have a storm shelter, but our neighbors across the street did. They would dig down. They would have it mostly underground except the door. I don't seem a lot like that up here. But I can remember many times when the sirens went off, you could look out the window, and I can still see in my mind's eye, they were elderly then, but I can see my neighbors headed for the storm shelter. I don't know how you feel, but I think it's time to head for the storm shelter, so to speak. I'm reading the biography of Louis Zamperini. He was an Olympian that was enlisted but drafted in World War II, became the bomber on the B-24s. I remember this one incident I read this week, how he had been out on a bombing mission, had bombed Japan, the Japan holdings of the islands. And after he got through bombing, they finally got the airplane back to the base, and it had 529 holes in it from enemy fire. I told you that to share just a moment here, 529 holes in it. He said that was a bit frightening. But he said the thing that happened that evening, that night, was far more frightening. This was a new base, a new island. And in the middle of the night, the sirens went off and the Japanese bombers came over and began to bomb that base. He said, we were all new there, Brother Dale. We were all new there. We didn't know where the trenches were. We didn't know where the bomb shelters were. We couldn't find anybody to tell us where they were at. And he said, everything's blacked out for the bombing. All the lights are out. He said, we didn't know where we go. Men were running around in darkness here and there, tripping over each other, being bombed, being wounded. And he said that fear of not knowing where a bomb shelter was a greater fear than being in that airplane and it being shot up by enemy fire. He said that fear that night of not knowing where the shelter was a fear greater than any I experienced in the war. I'm telling you, it's got to be an awful fear to be in the middle of a storm, be in the middle of a bombardment, and not know that there's a bomb shelter. But I'm telling you, when everything is happening, that is happening, and is going to happen, happens, we don't have to have that kind of fear because we know where the shelter is. Aren't you glad in the midst of it all, you can know there is a shelter? And Paul said, when everything starts happening, let your hearts be led into that shelter, and that shelter is love. Oh, aren't you glad there's a shelter this morning? I want to talk to you about that briefly, but what Paul is letting me know, unless I'm living in that place of love, I am not prepared for the storms that are coming. I am not prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. But I would like to preach this morning, there is a place of safety and he will lead me there. Hallelujah. There is a place of safety and he will lead me there. I'm talking to us this morning, but someone in particular, I want you to know just three quick things about Paul's prayerful declaration. First of all, it lets us know there is a place of preparedness. There is a bomb shelter. Hallelujah. There is a place of preparedness, and we can make it to that place. It's one thing for there to be a shelter. It's another thing to be able to make it to it. I'm telling you, there is a place, and we can make it to it. As I prepared this message over and over from the Old Testament, it kept coming to me, the words that God spoke to Moses. Moses was stuck out in that wilderness with a bunch of complaining people. Everything seems to be going wrong in their disobedience. The promised land is still ahead through the wilderness. And Moses began to think and to say to God, there's no way I want to try to make it through the wilderness. There's no way I want to try to lead these people on my own. Amen. God, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. God, if you're not with me on the journey, I don't want to take it. And in the midst of that, God began to speak with Moses. I believe I gave it to you, Brother Mike. And God said, or Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there is no man, there shall no man see me and live. Listen, here it is. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. There is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. Stand upon a rock. Amen. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Oh God, I don't want to face what I'm going to face. I've got to know that you're with me, and to know that you're with me, I've got to see your glory to know it's going to be all right. God said, I'll show you my glory, but to see my glory, to have a place of safety, I've got to put you in a place. There is a place by me. That kept going over and over. The difference is, God told Moses, there is a place by me. But he says to us, there is a place in me. There is a place in me. I'm telling you, there's a place of safety in the Lord our God, in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, in his power. There is a place of safety. Oh, aren't you glad there's a place this morning? Hallelujah. There's a place in God where we're safe and secure. There's a place in God where we can weather what has come and is coming. There's a place in God where we can weather the storms that come against us, even in the normal scheme of living and life. The hymnist took that thought up I just told you about from Exodus in Moses' life, and he wrote the hymn, and I give you but one stanza of it. I love it. The hymnist wrote, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Listen, he hideth my life in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand. Paul said he'll direct your heart into the love of God. I'm telling you, he'll put you in his love, cover you with his hand. You'll be safe from the storm in the love of God. Amen. Maybe this morning it seems you have no place to rest in your life. You have no place to regroup, refresh, recharge. It seems in the things that's happening in your life, there's no place of safety and security. But I want to tell you this morning, there is a place. The love of God. Secondly, this morning, Paul lets us know that the place of preparedness is the place of his love. Notice what he says here. The Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Some like to have a bit of discussion here and say the waiting for Christ means the same endurance that Christ has. And that may be true, but the whole message of the Thessalonians epistles has been and being prepared for the coming of Jesus. Paul's already talked about our waiting, our enduring till Jesus comes. And again, patient waiting means endurance. So I don't think it just means endurance like Christ. I believe it's right. Amen. We are to have an endurance, amen, for the coming of Christ. We are to endure what we're going through until Jesus gets here. We need to have a patient waiting for Christ. That speaks about being prepared whenever he comes. But I thought it was interesting, by putting these two things together, I believe they're one in the same place. Paul said, may the Lord direct you into the love of God. May he direct you into the patient waiting for Christ. I believe they're one and the same. I believe if you're in the love of God, you are going to have an endurance in your soul. You will be prepared. You will face what you face. You won't give up. You won't give in. You won't give out. You won't let go. If you are truly in the love of God, you will have an endurance in your soul. That's why Jude said, when he talked about the things coming, he said, keep yourself in the love of God. Once he directs you into his love, keep yourself there. I'm telling you, amen, you can go through a long list of do's and don'ts. You can get religiosity and all of that, and you won't be ready when Jesus comes. But if you will let him direct you into the place of his love, where you experience his love and know his love, if you'll stay in the love of God, you'll be prepared when Jesus comes. How many wants to be in his love this morning? They're one and the same. The place of endurance, preparedness, is the place of his love. Hallelujah. You know, fear alone will not keep one prepared for Jesus' coming. I said, fear alone won't keep one prepared for Jesus coming. I was going to do this. I forgot to set it up, so you just have to work with me and be actors, all right? Brother Brian, would you help me and go to this back room back there? Get behind the door. I need a young lady. Will you help me? You're going to have to act now since you're seeing it happen. I was going to have, you know, Brother Brian's can be pretty scary, can he? See, I knew that. So what would happen if I had this set up, and you didn't know he was back there, and I asked you to open the door, and when you open the door, he would, what would happen? I want you to act that out. Go ahead. Make it loud. She'd scream. It'd scare her. Okay, now let's do it again. She might even be, you know how jumpy little sweet girls are, you know. She might even do it the second time. Now, you just did it, but do it again. He's going to scare you again. But you know, do it again. About the third time, she's not jumping as far. Go ahead. And then the fourth, fifth time, all of a sudden, she's not jumping. She's about to slap him. Okay, thank you. I think it works that way in the things of God too. If the only reason you prayed through is because you were scared. Now, I'm not taking away from that because by fear Noah built the ark. That is a legitimate. But if it's only fear of what's to come, you're not going to make it. It's got to be more than just fear. You've got to get to somewhere else. There's a place other than just being afraid of what's coming, afraid of the Antichrist, afraid of plagues, afraid of catastrophe. I mean, that works good for a while, but pretty soon it begins to wear off. Amen. If you're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord, it's got to be more than the motivation of fear. It's got to be because you've been led into the love of God. You know He loves you, and you love Him, and you're going to be ready to see Him because you're in the place of love. My grandmother lived 4 miles from the Oregon-Washington border. The Columbia River separates them. McNary Dam is there. It's a great sight to see that swift Columbia River, that clear water. I went there as a teenager. Been there many times as a teenager. We're standing there looking at that dam, and boom, this cannon went off. Boom, ever so many minutes. I began to ask my cousins what that was all about. Well, the pigeons roosted on that dam, and there's something about you'll figure that out. I ain't going to go into all that. Amen. But it was deteriorating the concrete. And so I had to get rid of the pigeons. I didn't realize I was going to get into that, so I didn't get into it. I got around it. Anyway, they had to get rid of the pigeons, so they tried the owl thing for a while, you know, and it scared them off, but that didn't work. So they hooked up a cannon on a timer. And every so long, whatever it was, an hour, that cannon would go off and those pigeons would fly away. And my cousin told me that worked for a while. But when I was there, that cannon would boom with that loud boom and those pigeons wouldn't even flinch. They got used to it. You know, we can preach about the coming of the Lord, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. We can preach about the horrible things that's going to happen in the tribulation and people get used to it. It's just like our sweet young little girl over here. She jumped, she screamed, youth camp, I'll pray through. Amen. And I'm not taking away from that. We need to be concerned. We need to have a rightful fear. But if that's all you get, you'll end up, amen, going back and not being prepared for the coming. But if you will let Him direct you into the love of God and you're serving Him because you love Him. Get it, young people. Get it this morning. If you're serving because you love Him, you love His presence, you love His word, you love His book, you love to worship Him. If you let Him lead you into the place of love, you'll be ready when Jesus comes. Oh, somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. We need fear. Yes, sir, we need it. Amen. But fear alone will not work. In the epistle of John said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, or be ready in the day of judgment. Amen. What love? He says in the next verse, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath tormented, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. John said, if you want to be ready when the judgment comes, don't just have a fear, but have a love that casts out the fear. I'm telling you, there's some fearful things other than just the Lord coming in judgment fall. on. There's fearful things that we're facing in our world right now. If you've halfway listened to the news, even there are fearful things that's happening in our government, our society, our land, our world. But I'm telling you, he can lead us into a place of love, and perfect love casteth out fear. In the midst of the storm, we can have no fear because we got love. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I've often said in marriage counseling and talking to young married couples, there are a lot of trials in life, but a man can face anything on the job if he can know he's going to come home to a wife that loves him, and vice versa. Children can face all kinds of things in public school, out in the neighborhood, but they can face all kinds of things if they can come home and know that they got parents that love them. I'm telling you, church, we can face anything that's ahead because there's a place we can come to where we know he loves us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. Fear alone is not enough to keep me ready. Knowledge of what's to come is not enough to keep me ready. Zeal for the coming of the Lord is not enough to keep me ready. If I'm going to make it, I need to be living in that place of love. And what do we mean by the place of love? The place where I experience God's love for me. The place where I know I'm there because I'm loving him. And the place where I'm able to show God-like love to my brothers and sisters. If you want to be ready for what's to come and the coming of the Lord, stay in a place where you're loving God. Stay in a place where you're feeling his love, experiencing his love for you, and stay in a place where you're showing God's love through you to others. But last of all, amen, Paul makes clear that we must be led into that place of love. We don't just stumble it upon it by accident. We are led into that place of love. You know, sometimes words can be so interesting. I want to direct your attention back, amen, to that phrase, that prayer of Paul's. The Lord direct your hearts. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. That word direct, yes, it means lead, but I begin to study it, and oh, it was so interesting because that word direct was used over and over to straighten out, to straighten out something. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Lord will lead you. He'll straighten you out. Amen. You know why we don't stay where we should be in God? Amen. Something gets out of kilter. We get all twisted up in our thoughts. We get all tangled up in our emotions. Our life gets in a mess. But I'm talking about the Lord who is able to straighten it out. Amen. He can lead us to that place because he straightens out our thoughts. He straightens out our feelings, our emotions. He straightens out the things of our life and brings us to the place of his love. Our hearts must be directed. Amen. Why? Our hearts have their own desires, their own intents. Our hearts have their own ways. Amen. Our hearts go astray. Our hearts lose their way. Our hearts wander off. Amen. They can't find their own way. Hear me. I've been thinking about our young people, and I've seen it so often. I've seen them in the altars of Southern Ohio, blessed and touched of God. 2 weeks later, you can't find some of them anywhere. They're right back in the world. Amen. Why? Your heart will go astray. Your heart will lead you astray. You need to let God come, straighten everything out, straighten every attitude out, and lead you into his love. Our hearts have to be directed. That's why it's so important when God's Spirit begins to move, not to resist, not to say no, not to pull away, but just go with God as he leads you. Hallelujah. How many knows we got to be led to that place? We cannot find our own way. Amen. In every situation, let the Lord lead you to the place of love. I don't know what your personal crisis is in your family this morning or in your life, but let the Lord lead you into the place of love. And even in that situation, it's not just over the span of our walk with God, but as we begin to close right here, this place, this morning, whatever's happening in your life, the best thing you could do is let the Spirit of God, let the Lord through the Spirit of God, lead your heart to that place where you get up from the altar this morning and say, oh, how he loves me. Oh, how I love him. I even love the one I was upset about before I came to the altar. I love them too. If you'll let God, He'll lead you to that place of love. You won't just come there. If your heart and my heart is left to their own, they'll end up in the place of bitterness. Our hearts will end up in the place of sin. Our hearts will end up in the place of hardness and indifference and disillusion. That's the natural paths of our heart. So whatever happens, Brother Rose, let the Lord lead your heart to the place of love. Your wife is sick. You're concerned. Even that's a bad situation. Amen. But you won't get bitter. You won't get upset with God. You're going to let Him lead. Even in this situation, you're going to let Him lead your heart to the place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many was lost in sin, sinking deep, but His love lifted you. Aren't you glad there's a place of love? Let Him lead you to the place of love. Direct your heart. Amen. So even in your situation this morning, it was Paul's prayer to the Thessalonians, Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God. But if you would make it your prayer, if you'd just be honest and say, Jesus, lead my heart into the love of God. I don't like what I'm facing. I don't like what I'm feeling. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like how I'm reacting. I don't like how I'm acting. God, I want you to lead my heart, direct my, straighten me out, Lord, and bring me to the place of your love. And God's love will help you. God's love will buoy you, strengthen you, pick you up, dust you off. God's love will empower you to face what is ahead. Oh, love of God, so rich and full, so measureless and strong. Hallelujah. Right here this morning, lead my heart into the love. Clear up my motives, straighten out my attitude, and give me a love for you as I experience your love for me. Amen. When we were gone, one day we rode the metro to downtown Phoenix, and I didn't know what stop to get off on. Hadn't figured it out yet, so I asked a man on the metro. He told me a certain stop. Then I figured it out, and I said, he told me wrong. Now, he didn't mean to, but he told me. I leaned over to him, and I said, he told me wrong. He would have led me astray. We'd have gotten off way too soon, had to walk a long distance or way too late. He gave me the wrong directions. I want to tell you something this morning. When God, if you'll let God lead your heart, direct your heart, He'll never lead you astray. How many knows that? He'll bring you to that place of love every time. Amen. We took our GPS with us for the rental vehicle. And it's one for Sandra's car, and it's going out. And I don't know, that GPS was as confused, I started to say, as a lot of women are driving, but I won't say that because that would sound. It had a man's voice on it, though. I'm telling you that thing. I'll tell you, here's what it said several times. It would show the arrow turn right, and it'd say, up ahead, turn left. I'm looking at the arrow, and it's going right. And the voice is saying, turn left. Figure that one out. God will never confuse you. He'll never lead you astray. He'll lead you to that place of love. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. And so we're closing this series. Out of all that's been said, out of all that Paul said, if you want to be ready, live in the place of love. How do I get there? You let the Lord lead you. I haven't thought of this in years. I guess starting out with tornadoes, I could get my mind off of it. But a friend of mine in Bible school had been in the middle of a tornado. He worked in a garage or a tire shop, one of those things. The tornado hit. There was nowhere to run, no time to think. But you know those partitions between garage doors, if you can envision a garage, a car garage, one of those partitions, as that storm hit, as that tornado hit, he went and got right beside one of them, right between those two garage doors, and he just froze and began to pray. That tornado came and blew that garage down. And the only thing that was left standing was that little column between the garage doors where he was standing. I believe the Lord led him to that place. I'm telling you, your world can be crumbling around you, but you can be in that place of love, safety. Aren't you glad we don't have to get bitter, sour, disillusioned, discouraged, and He can direct our hearts into His love? Would you stand across the building? Oh, Father, we pray it in earnest. Lord, we pray it in honesty. Sometimes, Lord, we need straightened out. We get so far from that place, oh Lord. But oh God, this morning it's your desire to direct us into your love. To direct us to that place that we experience and know and recognize your love for us. To that place, Lord, without adulteration, we're able to love you and love you wholly. God, I pray this morning you'd lead someone into your love. Hallelujah. For I open these altars, church, if you're glad for the love of God, if that's right where you want to live is in the middle of his love, would you lift your hearts and hands and say, oh God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love me. I'm thankful that there's a place of love. I thank you, oh Lord, this morning. I may have come in church discouraged, depressed, or even angry and bitter. But Lord, you're able to lead me to a place of your love. Hallelujah. 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 Heads are bowed across this building. You just be real honest this morning. Only the Holy Spirit could make this real. But you're so tired of your heart going its own way. You want God to come this morning and take your heart and lead you to the place of His love. You want to experience anew the love of God this morning. Anew this morning. You want to know that you love Him. Would you come right now, just slip into an aisle and come to the altar and say, I'm coming to let God direct my heart into His love. Are there others that like to come? Amen. Young people, serve Him because you love Him. No other motive will get you there. Are there others you'd like to come this morning and say, I want God to direct my heart into His love? Are you here? What about it, young people? Would any of you say, I want God to straighten some things out of my life so that I could love Him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind? Amen. Are there others? In fact, I think really all of us desire this. I'm opening these altars. Would you come and fill the altars and say, God, lead my heart to the place of your love. Amen. Lead my heart. You say, you don't know what I've been going through. No, and I wouldn't minimize it. I wouldn't demean what you're going through, but let Him direct your heart to the place of His love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. Oh, I need to know again that He loves me. I need some things straightened out of my life so that I can love Him. Maybe there's someone in my life I'm having trouble loving. Direct my heart, oh God, to the place that I might love them. That I might love them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Lord lead you into His love. Lead me into your love, Lord. Lead me into your love, Lord.